The basis of my message this morning is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the great chapter on love. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you. It was June 30th, 1962, that Linda and I were married at Red Oak Grove Lutheran Church, rural Austin, Minnesota. My Uncle Joe, a Lutheran pastor, came up to preach and to tie the knot. And his text was 1 Corinthians 13. This reading, the great chapter on love. But in all honesty, I didn't hear a word. I was concerned about the soloist, Johnny, lived in the same house I did at college, but I'd never heard him sing. He sang in the Augsburg Choir, so that should be worth something. I worried about Linda's young sis, who was the flower girl. And overriding everything, I was worried about my beloved 1956 Volkswagen Beetle. What were these characters, the guys in our house, what were they going to do with that gem of a car? I have preached at weddings many, many times, 1 Corinthians 13. And I wouldn't be surprised that a number of you who are married had that very same text. And maybe you didn't hear so much either. True story. A few years ago, I got the call from a funeral home And my schedule worked out, and I said, yes, the word, there just wasn't church background and really not so much of anything. 2 days before the funeral, I met with the family. That's how I do things. And I met with an adult son and an adult daughter and their spouses to protect everyone. Will call the son Brian and the daughter Brianna. After the introductions, I explained that I wanted to hear some stories about their mom and how they fit into the scheme of things, and I wanted some help in planning the funeral service. For starters, Brian said, and I want you to know I don't want a religious service. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I said, well, then I think I have to leave. Why do you want me? Well, when we met with the funeral director, Brian says, Sis and I were trying to figure it out, and we're not sure, but we think Mom could have been a Lutheran. So I guess that's how you got the call. Okay. Let's see if we can work our way through this. And then Brian said, oh, one more thing. I don't want you to read anything from that deleted Bible of yours. I don't know about you, but I often think of the line that I wish I would have said on the way home. But all I can figure out is God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of me, and I said, what do you want? He says, some Shakespeare, some really good, solid stuff. And I says, I don't know that stuff. I'm sorry, but I know some poetry that is just fabulous. It goes something like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. And then I said, well, there are a few more lines, but I love the ending. But for now, faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And Brian sat up and he says, I've heard that somewhere. Yes, read that for Mom's service. And I did. And in spite of my instructions, I read a couple of the great promises of Jesus from the Gospel of John. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. It was a packed funeral chapel. And after the service, Brian gave me a hug and said, great job. Corinth is a mission start congregation. Okay? Paul starts it and then heads off to another city and possibly in another province. He's spreading the gospel, starting it, and he's off to another place. And so with Corinth, But Corinth has the reputation of the most vile and ugly and dirtiest, most sinful place in the world at that time. And here's this handful of people now naming Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the word gets back to Paul, and he hears that the Mission Start congregation is imploding. There's a clique that says, I've got the gift of prophecy, and if there isn't anybody to proclaim, you got nothing. And another one said, I've got the speaking in tongues gift. That's the best. But another clique says, oh, wait a minute. If you don't have us to interpret what you're saying, you've got nothing. Another said, we've got the gift of faith. Why? We can take these mountains and cast them off over into the sea. And it went on and on. It was all me, myself, and I. It was a time of the selfie then already. And so Paul writes. We have two of the letters and parts of them, and probably Paul had to write four times to this struggling bunch. But before us today, 1 Corinthians 13, and he's saying, whatever your gifts, quit crowing and blowing. Whatever you have is a gift from God, and the greatest of these gifts is love. Now, my dear Mission Start congregation, get busy in loving one another and your neighborhoods as you know it. And so I see that as our task before us today. To love one another. That is to say, because we are the loved ones, notice it's a gift. It's not something we cook up. It's a gift from our loving God. Jesus loves you and me so much. And what else is there to do? But in thanksgiving, in thankful hearts, to in turn love one another. Some snowy day, take a look at 1 John 4:19. Not the Gospels, way back near the end of the Bible. And there's the verse, we love because he first loved us. That is our focus on the cross of what Jesus has done for you and for me amidst our brokenness and our selfishness and our blockheadedness and our sin and all of that junk. Jesus says, you are mine. I love you. You are precious in my sight. Okay, loving people, what's next? I'll never forget it. Some 10 days, I suppose, before Christmas, I was at Walgreens, and I finally got to be second in line, and there was a holdup, and this lady had come unglued, and it had something to do with coupons, and I don't know. But eventually, she got loud. She got uncorked and screaming. Finally, she got out of there. I was next, and I said, Helen, I'm sorry. And she said, Ron, if I could do it, I'd quit right now. But I gotta have a job. I need it so much. She says, I can't wait till Christmas is over. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. Helen, hang in there, please. Just 4 or 5 days ago, I was in Hy-Vee. Oh, some of this shopping is really an adventure. And I had paid, and I had my cart, and I noticed this lady, the checker, in the next chute. And it was Julie. And often I try and get in to her line because she's got a smile that just doesn't quit. And sometimes I wonder, how can you smile that much? And I walked over to her and I said, Julie, you are so unusual. You got this smile all the time. What's with you? And she said, Ron, my mom and dad taught me when I was a little squirt to smile because it takes more work to frown and to scowl. And she's right. Psychologists will bear that out. Gifts. In other words, it doesn't have to be that kind of thing of faith moving mountains into the sea. But in our simple dealings, relationships day by day, to be people who love and to forgive. For us adults, when was the last time that you encouraged a young kid to say, you're great, you can do it, hang in there, great job? Laura is a mentor. We had a forum on mentoring in the school system a few weeks ago. To be a friend to someone in school that doesn't have a mom or a dad or people that care, and to listen and to be a friend. Meals on Wheels and the list, this is one of the things that as a partner here, Linda and I are just so impressed about you as you reach out into the community, into the state and around the world. That's how we get meaning in life, when we, the loved ones, turn around and relate and help and care for each other. Okay, each and every one of you, each of us have this job description, okay? You have gifts, abilities, talents. Please don't sit on your hands and say, well, one of these days I oughta. Get at it now. Your family. That can be a tough one sometimes. To your clan, to your neighborhood, to the organizations in which you belong, your work a day thing. And for you kids, that's your school. Shock the socks off your teacher and thank him or her. In Jesus' name, let's be people of love. We can do it. Amen.